the Dementia Researcher podcast, talking careers, research, conference highlights, and so much more.
In this podcast, we're going to get the lowdown on what you can expect from the 2024 AIC Neuroscience Next Conference, a massive free event taking place from the 22nd to the 25th of April. Hello, I'm Adam Smith. I'm the Program Director for Dementia Researcher, and I'll be your host for this podcast. Usually at this point, I would do a fun little summary of the topic, but if I do that today, I suspect I will steal the thunder of my three brilliant guests. So instead, let's just skip straight to the introductions. I'm delighted to be joined by three people who have been working incredibly hard to make this event happen, and they're going to tell us all about what we can expect. And by the end of the show, I hope you'll be inspired to go and register, attend, and get involved. It's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Igor Fontana, Dr. Francesca Farina, and Dr. Caitlin Siebert. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Adam. How are you?
Fantastic. Now, you're all new to the podcast. This is quite rare. Quite often these days, mostly the people have had, at least one of the guests have been here before, but you're all new, so thank you so much for joining. And of course, I should say that means everybody who comes on our podcast, of course, has their bio on the website. So now if you go to our webpage, you'll be able to find out all about our guests and read their bios on their website, including things like what books they're reading, their playlists. Have you all given me a playlist? We're adding these to the website as we speak. So what music they listen to, what they do to unwind down. However, don't go reading just yet. Let's hear from them all to get a proper introduction. Igor, why don't you go first?
Thank you so much for having us today, Adam. It's a big pleasure. My name is Igor Camargo Fontana. I am the director of scientific conference programming with the Alzheimer's Association. And my main focus here is to really be highlighting the beautiful research in Alzheimer's and dementia all over the world.
I can't believe you've not been on the podcast before because we've met so many times. Why has it taken us so long to have you on the podcast? So you must be one of the busiest people at the Alzheimer's Association because you've got the most conferences of any charity I know. You've just come back from Tau, right? You've got the Latinos conference. Is that now or just about to happen?
Yes, next week we're going to go to San Diego April 4th and 5th. So it's nonstop indeed.
And then AIC, of course, which is the big one. And you've also got the Satellite Symposium in May as well. Wow. Well, I'm brilliant. Thank you so much for finding time to get to us. I'm going to go to Francesca next.
As Igor said, it's a real pleasure to be on the podcast, longtime listener, so it's exciting. And my favorite thing about Igor is when he describes his conferences, he always says the small ones, and it's still thousands of people. So no, it's lovely to be here. My name is Francesca. I'm a research assistant professor in the School of Medicine at the University of Chicago as of a few weeks ago. And I'm also an Atlantic Fellow for Equity in Brain Health with the Global Brain Health Institute at Trinity College in Dublin, which is how I ended up being a co-host for the Ireland Neuroscience Next Hub.
Wonderful. Well, congratulations on your new job. Is that new as in literally you've just moved to Chicago?
I was at Northwestern University, also in Chicago, right before, but I started at University of Chicago 1st of March.
Well, congratulations. What is it? What does your research focus on?
My research focuses on life course risk reduction. So primarily midlife risk factors in specific groups, like higher risk women, for example, people with a family history, people who are particularly anxious about dementia, and that might influence their help-seeking behaviors. And I also co-lead the Next Generation study, which is a brain health study focusing on younger adults, looking at do younger adults even think about their own brain health? Do they connect that to things like Alzheimer's and dementia? And what is their risk exposure at that young stage before we even get to midlife?
Wonderful. That's so important and such a hot topic right now. I haven't been to a conference in the last 2 years that hasn't had a substantial chunk on dementia prevention because, of course, that's the future, right? Mm-hmm. Well, fantastic. Thank you very much for joining us. Caitlin, why don't you go next?
Thanks, Adam. It's a real pleasure to be here. I really appreciate it. So I'm a behavioral neurologist at University of Chicago. So I spend most of my time doing seeing patients. So and focusing on accessibility barriers, social determinants of health in the South Side of Chicago. My research interests include social cognition, trying to identify frontotemporal dementia, other atypical dementias early on as compared to primary psychiatric disorders. And then I also have a special interest in creative arts therapies and therapeutic arts and dementia. Before I became an MD, I was a musician, so I play trumpet. So it's something that's near and dear to my heart.
Oh, wow. We just did a podcast the other week on music and dementia and the beneficial points of that. And this week that we had another one earlier this week on the same thing.
That's awesome. I'll have to check them out.
So that's also, I mean, you've got all the bases covered there. There must be not very many grant applications come up that you can't apply for with that whole range of interests that you've
Thank
got.
You. That's what we aim for. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much, all of you, for joining us. With the introductions done, let's get on to hearing about news from the event. So, Igor, can I maybe come to you first to set the scene and give us a little bit of history about how this event came about and how it's developed over the last few years?
So AIC Neuroscience Next, I think, is important for us to mention to our listeners what does AIC stands for, right? So AIC is the Alzheimer's Association International Conference. And Neuroscience Next is really to focus on the early career researchers, the next generations of neuroscientists, especially those interested in Alzheimer's and dementia research. So AIC Neuroscience Next started in 2020 when we were unfortunately hit by the pandemic. And by thinking of those students and postdocs that were about to present their researches in big conferences and didn't have the chance, of course, the Alzheimer's Association, led by Dr. Claire Saxon, had this idea of like providing an opportunity for those to present their researches in a conference. So this was initially only virtual, a virtual conference, free of cost, totally focused on early career researchers. So now, after 4 years, yes, it's been 4 years, right, since the pandemic started, we had last year initial attempt, a pilot, with the kind of trying to bring the in-person component to the virtual conference. So we did a couple of locations in London, in the US, and in Brazil as well. But now this is the first year that we're going to really bring a new concept, the hybrid hub.
A hybrid hub. That sounds like more organization. I remember those early conferences because I was on the organizing committee, I think, for the first one. And it was I think it was quite unique then, this idea of doing an entirely free online conference, and it had so many people attend. Is the focus now, because at that time I think it was very much like that SFN audience and it was very kind of hard neuroscience. Is it the same audience now, or has it broadened out to, because I'm conscious, Caitlin, I mean is your work like, you know, focus that in that you don't work it in a lab in the same way, do you? You're clinical.
Right, so exactly. So I'm not basic science-based. I'm more clinical science-based. My research is more clinical research. So I'm really excited to be, you know, new to the space. And I think that we're bringing a lot of folks that are interested in clinical research too.
So who's it for, Igor? Who should be coming to this?
So as you wisely mentioned, Adam, at the beginning, we were like really focused on basic neuroscience. But now, as we're going global, we really want to understand like the regional needs, you know, for giving the stage to early career researchers. So we understand that basic neuroscience is not the main focus of research in certain locations. And again, the main focus is early career researchers, PhD students, early postdocs. This is the main goal. Of course, like neuroscience is a very big theme of research. And of course, Caitlin can tell more like how we can combine things. So like basic science is also there like to kind of support, as Caitlin mentioned, her subject of research of how arts can be a way of preventing the development of Alzheimer's and other dementia. And then how can we explain this in mechanism? So that's when we bring like the basic neuroscientists and we combine everyone together, you know. So the main goal here is early career researchers, but people that like have the whole broad of Alzheimer's and dementia research.
So that collaboration, that kind of recognizing that people can learn from each other, I think is important, isn't it? So it's not just for lab researchers. If you're a psychologist, if you work in the neuroscience dementia space or atypical dementias or in clinically, there'll still be something in this program for you. It's not just a lab researcher, fundamental scientist event. So that's good to clear that up. Now then, let's get into talking a little bit about this, about the format. You mentioned hybrid hubs. So it's an online conference, but you've got a hybrid hubs. What is a hybrid hub, Igor?
So a hybrid hub is that we aim to combine different locations across the world. Each of these hybrid hubs, they're gonna be having on-site events. And all of these hubs are gonna have one plenary presentation, followed by lightning presentation rounds or like short presentations from early career researchers who submitted abstracts to the conference. So one invited plenary speaker and four selected early career researchers abstracts. So this is the same program for all of the hybrid hubs. So we will be going live from seven different locations across the world.
I'll tell you where they are. So that's Porto Alegre in Brazil, San Francisco and Chicago in the US, Bangalore in India, Dublin, Ireland, Addis Ababa in Ethiopia, and Belgrade in Serbia. There are some places there where you never hear of research conferences coming from before. So this is brilliant, isn't it? This is a real unique chance to bring a first of its kind conferences to some of those places and stop those researchers having to always come to the US or Europe.
Yes, that's the main goal. We really want to highlight the bright research that we can see from brilliant minds in Africa, in Asia, in South America, not only in the main hubs, Europe and North America, you know. So our main goal is to highlight the beautiful research that early career researchers are doing all across the globe.
So each of those sites takes a turn at broadcasting into the online platform on that fixed program of, you mentioned, of an invited speaker and lightning talks and things. And then, so I'm guessing they each, how the logistics of timing must be quite challenging with that. How do you do that when every one of those countries is essentially on a different time zone, and then everybody you want to watch is also on different time zones? How does that work?
There is a lot of work and a lot of teamwork behind it, Adam. So a lot of collaboration, of course, with our hybrid hub leads, that we have Caitlin representing the Chicago hub and Francesca representing the Ireland hub. But also a lot of work from the Alzheimer's Association side, our conference services team helping us with all of the AV and the logistics and everything. And everyone will be up, for example, at 3 a.m. Chicago time for the India hub, you know? So everyone is aware that this will be a unique thing.
So genuinely then, I'm guessing in local time, Caitlin and Francesca, when you're doing your live streams into the online platform, it's at whatever is a sensible local time for you. And the audience, if they want to watch live, they'll have to just run with that. So if you're on the west coast of the US and you want to watch the live sessions from Dublin, that's going to be in the very, very early hours of the morning. Yeah, but they're recorded, right? So nobody has to watch live.
Correct. Francesca, what time are we going to have the Ireland hub again? Can you remind me, please?
In Irish time?
Yes.
Yeah. We are 10:30 a.m.
Yes, that's perfect.
Very simple. And I'm guessing that's similar times then wherever you are in the world. Is it the either sometime in the morning or sometime in the afternoon, the hubs beam into an online platform to create a day's worth of online viewing. And so if you're watching in the UK or US, you can just log in the morning when you'd normally sit at your desk and watch whatever was live streamed during the night. Or you could, if you're a night owl or you've got a little bit of a sleep problem, you can watch live in the middle of the night.
That's correct.
That's super clever and kind of gets around it as well. And of course, if you are in India, you can watch the, well, you don't have to, because I'm assuming that you don't have to watch online. If you happen to be a researcher in Dublin, can you go and join in person?
Yes.
You can.
Please join us in person.
I knew the answer to that. I knew the answer. I was to get that from
people. We have a whole program.
So every one of these hybrid hubs are doing part of their, they're doing a bigger conference day with part of it coming into the platform for everybody to watch, and then part of it just being for the people who physically attend in person. And do they all then, is this like a watch, do you know, on the streaming platforms have all got these watch parties these days. Do they have a watch party? Will everybody be sat in a conference room somewhere in Chicago watching the live stream coming from another part of the world?
Honestly, probably. The Hark Center, I bet, will be have different screens in different places. We've got a couple conference rooms, and everybody's super excited at University of Chicago for this.
Brilliant. So, Igor, just for the sake of clarity, run through that for me one more time. So the conference starts on the 20th. It's a Monday the
22nd.
Monday the 22nd it starts.
Yes.
So Monday the 22nd, sometime in the morning. Where are we going to? How's this jump around? We'll come back to the exact program later, but
yes.
What happens on Monday the 22nd?
So Monday the 22nd, we go live from Brazil initially. So we're going to have that plenary talk, followed by the early career researchers, and then a closing of the region, right? After that, we have like a couple of minutes break, and then we jump straight into the San Francisco hub. So this is day one. On April 22nd.
This feels like, you know, when they chase New Year, when people chase New Year around the world, it's, you could just, like, chase the conference around on a plane.
Exactly. Yes. Then on the following day, on April 23, we're going to India, and then follow that, we're going to go into Ireland. On the third day, April 24th, we'll be going live from Ethiopia, followed by Serbia. And then on the last day, we're going to have the program going live from Chicago. So I would just like to make like a remark, because on the Chicago Hub, we're going to have something different. Besides the plenary presentation and the early career researchers presentations, we're also going to have a panel with the awardees. So we also have some awardees in this conference, the Neuroscience Next.
So, Caitlin, you get a bonus session where they give out the awards from, of course, and Chicago is where the Alzheimer's Association head office is. That's where you are, right, Igor?
Correct. That's correct.
So that makes sense. Okay, I'm getting this now. This makes perfect sense. And then each of those sites have a speaker, and that's not necessarily somebody who's, so when we tune in to watch the talk from Addis Ababa, for example, it's not necessarily the plenary speaker isn't a researcher who's based in Ethiopia. It's an invited speaker.
That's correct. Especially like when we were like collaborating with the Hybrid Hub leads and like putting together the program, we really wanted them to bring international speakers to the region to really boost collaborations with the early career researchers locally, you know? So for example, let's think of, Serbia. Serbia is bringing Sir John Hardy to give a plenary talk. So can you imagine the impact of having the person who proposed the amyloid cascade hypothesis in Alzheimer's disease giving a plenary talk to early career researchers in Serbia? So, you know, this is the kind of impact we want to generate and the international collaborations we want to instigate.
And I would imagine they'll put him to work while he's there. I you know, they'll get him to do other things. It's so exciting. This is so creative and innovative. I love it. But let's we'll come back a little bit more to talk about who the speakers are and what we can expect from the programming. But I'm going to go to, you've been very patient, Francesca. I'm going to come to you first of all, because so you're leading the hub at Dublin. So what's going to be happening in Dublin on the, you've got Tuesday, right?
23rd.
Okay. So what happens in Dublin on the 23rd?
So what happens on the 23rd in Dublin? So I'm co-leading this hub with Professor Agustin Ibanez, who's also based at Trinity College in Dublin. So we're twinned with India. So we'll be watching their plenary speaker. I'm sure Igor can give more details on the India Hub. We are very excited to be welcoming our plenary speaker, who's Professor Claudia Suemoto from Sao Paulo, Brazil. And exactly as Igor said, you know, having the opportunity to invite somebody to come over to present to our Irish early career researchers is kind of amazing. So Claudia is going to be speaking to us on mechanisms underlying risk reduction. And she also is very involved in the Brazil ELSA study, which is the longitudinal study of aging, which is a sister study of TILDA, which is our Irish longitudinal study of aging. So even after we invited her, we found all of these other areas where, you know, like you said, put her to work, like, oh, great, you can meet this person and that person. So we'll be welcoming Claudia. We're very excited. In terms of the local program, then, we have a bunch of other talks. So we're also welcoming Professor Muireann Irish, who is an Irish neuroscientist, but she works at the University of Sydney in Australia. We're going to have some presentations from some of our Atlantic fellows showcasing, again, the global perspectives. We have talks on women caregivers in Colombia, stigma and brain health awareness in Ethiopia, and policy development and leadership in the UK. So very varied, trying to showcase what part of what we do at the Global Brain Health Institute. Then we're going to have some workshops. So we have three workshops set up. One is on grant writing, and we're very lucky to have Dr. Claire Sexton coming over from the association to be at our hub in person, who she'll be running the workshop with Augustine. We also have a workshop on computational methods. So any researchers who are interested in this growing sort of big data approach, where, you know, how do you harmonize data from different centers, different modalities? And then our third workshop, also very excited about this. It's public and patient voice, something that's also very, very important to us at the Global Brain Health Institute, always trying to ensure that we are bringing in the voice of people with lived experience. So if we're working in this space of brain health and dementia, for us, it's crucial to have people with the lived experience, either through a diagnosis or who are carers represented. So that workshop will be an introduction to, if you are a researcher, if you're a professional working in this space, how do you start to engage and collaborate with people who have a diagnosis? What else are we doing? We are also doing a podcast, which we're very lucky to have you coming over, Adam Smith, to invite some of our speakers back to talk about the idea around moving for science. So Claudia is coming over from Brazil. She worked in Harvard. She came to the States. I'm Irish. I went to the States. I'm based in Chicago now. Muireann Irish is Irish, but went to Sydney. So we'll have a little bit of a podcast, some discussion around the future of this and this kind of globalization. And do you need to move for science or can you stay at home? There's more, but I could stop. I'm going to stop there. There's more, but I'll stop there.
When I said earlier, if you happen to be in Dublin, you could go to the day. I think that's an amazing program that's worth traveling for. I think wherever you are in the UK, I think get yourself to Dublin on the 22nd, because that's a brilliant full day of programming. Is there a way for people to register to come to the in-person bit?
Yes, absolutely. We have a link on the GBHI webpage. I could share
with you. We'll put it in the show notes. So this Perfect. Podcast is obviously going to come out before the conference. So we'll put that in the show notes so people can click and register to go. Because that sounds like a really great day of program. That kind of combination of careers things with the international talks. And as we said, it's not entirely the kind of hard fundamental neuroscience. It's a real mix there, isn't it? And of course, you can be in the audience for what is probably only the second time we've recorded a live in front of a studio podcast. So we're very excited and grateful for you to invite us along to do that. Thank you, Francesca. So I'm going to come to you, Caelan. So now is your chance to make a pitch. Like, I've only got a limited time right now. I really want to go to Dublin.
I have to challenge that. It's so hard to follow. I want to go to Dublin.
We don't pick each other against each other, Adam.
I mean, apart from to come to Chicago to collect the award that I'm clearly due to a reason to come to Chicago, why should anybody in North America come along to Chicago to join you in person rather than just stay at home?
The Chicago Day is Thursday, last week of April, Thursday. And our hub theme is non-pharmacologic therapies in dementia. So I've been working alongside Joel Voss and Emily Rogalski at University of Chicago to put this program together. Super excited for our plenary speaker, Emre Düzel, who is flying from Germany. And so I can't wait to hear, you know, his latest research and his updates on non-pharmacologic therapies and dementia. After that, we go to lightning presentations, which are all done by early career researchers in the area, so all the Chicagoland area. Some of them are med students, some of them are psychologists, neuroscientists, so a vast array of early career folks. And there's new ART interventions, there's new interventions for primary progressive aphasia. So those are things to look out for sure. And then we have break for lunch, and in the afternoon we have panels. And the panels are basically what everybody wants to know, right? How to get funded, how to publish, and then how to design a study, right? And so these are supposed to be really high impact panels that are done by regional experts. So Joel Voss will be on one of them. Emily Rogalski will be on one of them, Anna Capuano from Rush, and then also Al Towers from the Alzheimer's Association. It sounds, I don't know, I'm really excited for it. I think it'll be a really great time. We're based in the Rubenstein Forum at University of Chicago, which is a really nice venue. It overlooks the lake and Hyde Park. I don't know, register if you can. Come and see us on Thursday. You know, go to Dublin first and then fly to Chicago.
Just pop across. And with the time difference, you could probably do that. No, don't do that. But but I don't think there is competition there, because actually those days overall sound quite similar, actually. I think it's, you know, that kind of combination of the talk, whilst the theme of the talks may be different, I think the overall experience of the day sounds very similar across that. Igor, you obviously, we haven't got anybody here from Brazil or India or from Ethiopia. What do the days at those places look like?
So it's pretty much similar, Adam, like, because as Caitlin mentioned, right, what do early career researchers want to know? They want to know how to get published, how to get funded, right, and how to design studies. So overall, all of the hubs are having their specific on-site programming, but all of them are going to have workshops. They're going to have in-person presentations, either via poster presentations or additional lightning presentation rounds from those abstracts submitted. And I would like to highlight that Brazil is having a full program. Like, they're having, as Eduardo Zimmer, one of the hub leads, together with Giovanna Collar, they mentioned to me that they're preparing a mini AAIC, you know, in there. Like, they're going to have 4 packed days of additional plenary speakers, international plenary speakers. So it will be super, super cool. And so to my people from South America, if you have the chance of visiting Brazil, they will have like a really nice program put together in there. UCSF, similarly, they're going to have the presence of members of the Alzheimer's Association to talk about our funding programs in the workshops. Also additional speakers. The India Hub, I remember that Professor Suvana Ladi requested us, can we, instead of focusing on the basic science only, bring like a lot of the clinicians here in Bangalore? Because this is what we need at the moment. We need to bring together the clinicians interested in Alzheimer's, educate them about new treatments, new diagnoses, and we said we are open to anything. Our main goal is to give like the opportunity for early career researchers interested in Alzheimer's and dementia. So the India Hub will be a lot focused on the clinicians in the local region. Ethiopia has also a similar program. In Africa, similar to Latin America, there's a lot of research going on the basic neuroscience, like developing of new therapies, a lot of like medicinal chemistry. So this will be a lot of the talking there, but also they, similarly to Francesca, they have the GBHI link. So Dr. Yared Zud is a GBHI fellow. So they're also going to be bringing additional researchers to talk about non-pharmacological intervention, to talk about the influence of VADs and dementia. So a very particular program as well. And Last but not least, Serbia will also be having like a two-day program. They will be having additional plenary speakers, which is Michael Hennica. They will be talking about neuroinflammation in Alzheimer's disease, and also a lot of presentations from early career researchers, from varying from posters to additional lightning presentation rounds as well.
Wow, that's vast, isn't it? So obviously you've got, wait a second, let me just recap this. So you've got like a two-day conference going on in India around the time, plus with their streaming half a day in. You've got a couple of days also as well. You said UCSF aren't just doing the day. You've got a whole conference in itself happening in Sao Paulo with them just beaming in a little bit. Full days in Chicago, full days in Serbia and in Dublin. And then with the online bits. So wherever you are in the world, you could probably get along to one of these full... I mean, it's worth traveling for some of these in-person conferences. I wouldn't just say I would go online, because the programming at those, at that kind of plus parts that are happening locally is super impressive, and things that we know early career researchers find really necessary. Well done. So Monday 22nd, Brazil and San Francisco, Tuesday 23rd of April, India, Ireland, Wednesday 24th, Ethiopia, Serbia, 25th is Chicago. However, what we'll do is we'll put links in with the show notes to not just to the online conference where you can register, but also to those local events where we have a link to register should you want to attend in person, because we know our listeners are all over the world. So if you are in South America, get yourself over to Sao Paulo and attend in person. Are every one of these free as well, Igor?
Everything is free, and we really want to bring people together, you know, and science must be democratic, right? Because we know all about the disparities we have. We know all about the issues we had with underrepresented populations, not only in being part of clinical trials, but also taking part in like leading positions in labs and everything. So we really want to bring people together, you know, that's the goal. And to bring people together, we cannot put high rates, you know. So another of the main goals of Neuroscience Next is having accessibility to everyone across the globe.
There weren't very many good things to come out of the pandemic, clearly, but its impact on conferences and this forcing us to innovate and consider more online rather than just in-person things, but then combining the two is an innovation that's come since the pandemic, which I think is massively benefiting, because I don't think, you know, we would have otherwise seen researchers necessarily be able to afford to attend conferences and things from other parts of the world had it not been for these brilliant work of Alzheimer's Association, iStar, and platforms like this. So all credit to you. We're nearly out of time, really, but I want to just talk a little bit about the online platform. So is that just a mechanism for viewing the live streams or the recorded sessions, or is there other stuff in the platform as well?
That's a very good point, Adam. Thanks a lot for bringing it up, because we also going to be highlighting other presenters, not only those that were selected for the lightning presentation rounds, but also virtual posters. So people from all across the globe submitted abstracts, and those abstracts that were not selected, unfortunately, for the lightning presentation rounds, they will also have the opportunity to present a poster virtually. So everything will be accessible in the same virtual platform.
So even though there isn't a hub in, say, France or Spain or England, there could well be posters in the conference platform from research.
Correct.
In
those and we have from several different locations. I would like to highlight something very important as well, because thanks to the work of our Hybrid Hub leads, you know, like we've broke the record of abstract submissions. So we've reached almost 400 abstracts submitted to Neuroscience Next. So this is a remarkable milestone for us. So to really show that we are giving the opportunity to early career researchers and they are taking it, you know, so that's the most important thing.
Brilliant. And I loved as well, because the sites weren't chosen at random, were they? This was I remember we put it on the website at the time. It was an open competition funding that you could apply to become a hub And so these sites all kind of put themselves forward, which I think is brilliant.
That's correct, yeah.
Thank you very much. Well, I think, to be quite honest, if I continue to gush any more about how incredible this event is, I think we're going to just put people off. There, I can't see a single reason why anybody should go. Just go register online and watch the stuff online, even if you can't make those in-person hubs. But it sounds like if you're somewhere and you have the time and you can get along to one of these hubs, attending in person sounds like there's lots of extra stuff that would be well worth watching.
I would just like to add a note, Adam. Sorry for interrupting you.
Not at all.
Is when people register online for the Neuroscience Next event, they receive a confirmation email, and in that confirmation email, you get the registration link for the on-site programming of each hub. So they're also we're going to be providing you with these links, of course, but people also get all of the information once they register for the virtual event.
Brilliant. That's great. And I hope some of those hubs are perhaps, you know, the bits that weren't streamed into the platform, that maybe if some of those are recording what they are doing at the in-person parts, we'd be happy to put them to share those through the Dementia Researcher website as well. So if you're making if you're running an in-person hub, and you're making recordings of some of the stuff that you're doing that's not going into the Neuroscience Next platform, do drop me a line at dementiaresearcher@ucl.ac.uk, and we'd love to share that through our website as well, because it sounds like some of those talks, some of those presentations and workshops will be really useful for everybody, even those who can't make it. Thank you very much, everybody. Well, honestly, this is incredible. I take my hat off to you. It must be really complicated to bring together. But what a great way to support communities of researchers outside of those usual centres that we always see represented. And I can see this format working great for other conferences and other I was going to say care research, but it sounds like that there's probably some care research in there among some of these sites. It's because we know now it's not all just basic science. So thank you very much, everybody. So before we go, I have just one last question for all of you while we've got you in the room. What advice would you have for anyone who's listening, who's presenting at one of your hubs for the first time, or who's making an online poster? What tips do you have for them? I'm going to put you on the spot and go to Caitlin first.
Yeah, of course. For presenting, if you're presenting for the first time, welcome. We're super excited. It's a low pressure. It's just an opportunity for you to connect with people and advance your career. Just relax, have fun, and share with everybody what you've been working on lately. Hopefully something comes of it, and hopefully we can help you.
That's one of the things I liked about this conference, and it was a kind of ethos in the first time that it happened, and I think it's continued through, which is it feels like it's organized by early career researchers for early career researchers. That there, you know, while some of the plenaries have got some big names in there, that the participants, the posters, all the other talks are mostly by ECRs, so it feels like probably takes the pressure off a little bit. It's a nice, warm, friendly audience who are in it for you, so hopefully that takes some of the pressure off rather than being on the big stage at the AIC. A great way to break in. What about you, Francesca?
Added to what Caitlin said, I would just echo, we're friendly, so don't be scared. And also, there are so many great resources, both, you know, from the Alzheimer's Association, offer a lot of online resources of tips of how to present, how to keep on time, what your slides should look like. So, you know, dip into those resources because they're there.
I like that, because that's something you do prior to the AIC, isn't it? Once everybody knows who's got presenting, you run a whole series of tip webinars to guide people through how to go about it. Plus, as well, of course, all the stuff you've done in the past is available on the website in your massive archive. Igor, you add your last one to that as well.
I echo again, like what Caitlin and Francesca said, like just relax, you know, enjoy the moment. And as really like nicely put by Francesca, the Alzheimer's Association, specifically the iStart, our membership, has a very vast archive of webinars on how to present, on how to review, on how. So we really focus on early career researchers to provide the means for them to learn how to do these tasks, you know, like, because when we are in academia, you know, like, we are sometimes a lot focused on like grants and publications. And these are these small things that sometimes we're not really, you know, trained for, you know, you just there on the stage at some point and you have to talk, you know. So the iStart webpage that we're going to be putting together offers this. And if you're wondering how you can join iStart, this would all be very well described in that in our webpage. And I would like to highlight that it's free for students all over the world. And also it's free for any researcher, no matter the career stage you are, but if you're based on a low and middle income country.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Have I got a top tip? I should add one to it. Smile. I find it very hard to kind of to sound like a little bit boring. If you smile throughout your presentation, you always look a little bit upbeat and everybody will make feel good about what you're presenting. So smile throughout, not maniacally. Just, you know, just a normal smile. I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. But if you want to register for the conference or find out more, head over to our website and head to the podcast page. There we also have bios on all our speakers and a transcript of the podcast. And as you heard earlier, we're also going to be in Dublin to record a live podcast. And if this is something you'd like to be in the audience for, do come along and join us there and come and say hello to me too, because I'll be there as well. I'd like to thank our incredible guests, Dr. Igor Fontana, Dr. Francesca Farina, and Dr. Caitlin Siebert. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining us and for all your brilliant work in pulling this together. You should get lots of credit for it, because I know how much work is involved in a conference, and this is lots. So well done.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Adam. Thank you so much, Caitlin, Francesca, for the amazing work you've been doing.
I'm Adam Smith, and you've been listening to the Dementia Researcher Podcast.
The Dementia Researcher Podcast was brought to you by University College London, with generous funding from the UK National Institute for Health Research, Alzheimer's Research UK, Alzheimer's Society, Alzheimer's Association, and Race Against Dementia. Please subscribe, leave us a review, and register on our website for full access to all our great resources. DementiaResearcher.nihr.ac.uk